Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back to the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast for the second time in 3 days. Yeah, I said I was going to try and podcast more regularly, and being that I have the day off today, I decided what better way to spend my time than to podcast again. For those of you who missed it in my last podcast, who just didn't listen or couldn't, I talked about the Super Bowl. I talked about basically just my thoughts on it. I also talked about Kyle Shanahan and how he was officially named the coach for the 49ers. And today, him and John Lynch both had a co-introductory press conference today, which I might do a podcast talking about in the future, but that's not going to be the focus of today's podcast. I kind of want to focus more on baseball because a lot has been happening within the last couple of days concerning the Giants. And so there's just lots of news there with the Giants, the World Baseball Classic, former Giants players, and what else is there? I honestly can't think. Oh, yeah, there is there's talk of a new rule being implemented into the major leagues within the next coming years. It's going to be tested in the minor leagues, in the lower levels. And I'm just going to start this off by kind of talking about what it is exactly that's going to be going on. They're implementing a rule change concerning extra innings. Let me pull this up real quick. All right, so basically what they're going to do is they're going to start extra innings with a runner on second base in order to try and speed up the game. And what I get from this, how I feel about this is I am not a fan by any means. Then again, I don't think baseball is a boring sport. You hear constant talk of baseball is boring compared to football, basketball, more fast-paced sports like that, just because baseball takes around 3 hours at least for a game to be completed. It's there's not constant scoring. It's relatively, what's the right word where I don't sound I don't sound like I'm talking down on baseball too much. I can't think about it at the moment. But people just lose focus with how kind of standstill baseball is. It's not really, it's more mundane. It's not as action-packed as those other sports. People like that instant gratification. They like the higher scoring. They like the touchdown passes, the fancy stuff. Baseball is not a game of flair by any means. It's relatively slow-paced compared to most sports. But that's what makes baseball beautiful to me. And the fact that they're doing all these ridiculous proposals to try and speed up games, it's kind of mind-boggling to me. I don't know. I don't think anything is wrong with the way baseball is currently. Then again, I will admit I am biased because I played baseball my whole life. But I mean, really, I think that's just unfair for the pitcher, the relief pitcher who will be in pitching. How is it going to work with that? I mean, does he get charged for the earned run if he gives it up? I don't know. I think the relief pitcher really gets a short end of the stick there. I don't think it's a rule that needs to be there. And I think it'll be a huge disadvantage if you're the team on the road. Because let's say the home team shuts you down in that inning, then they can kind of play it safe. They can bunt the runner over, move him to third, and that way there's a runner at third with less than two outs. I mean, the road team can do that, but I feel like it'd be more common for the home team if they were to shut down the away team in that initial inning. So, I don't know. I don't like it. I think it's a ridiculous rule. I think that, I don't know, I just think baseball is such a sacred sport, and I mean, it's America's pastime. I think it's a sport with a lot of rich history, and I just don't want to see that changed. Then again, maybe I am biased because I've played baseball my whole life, but I just have a lot of respect for the game. I mean, you don't really see rules like that in football. I'm trying to think of what a comparison would be. I guess in college football, when you start at like the 25-yard line, I guess that would be like the closest comparison. But I don't know. I don't like the idea of it. I hope it doesn't get passed. We'll see how it goes in the minors. I don't know if they're doing that this year or next year, or if they still have to vote on it. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't do all my homework. I've just heard of the potential rule change and how they're looking to start implementing this in the minor leagues, in the lower levels like the Gulf Coast League and like low A ball. So we'll see. I don't know. I kind of just wanted to get that out of the way, kind of share my thoughts on that a bit. But now I want to transition into talking about the Giants, because there's been a lot of news regarding the Giants over the last couple days or so. So I kind of want to get into that. First and foremost, I want to talk about one of my favorite Giants players, one of the more underrated relievers in baseball, in my opinion, which I'm not surprised. I mean, he was a lefty specialist, and he only threw to one or two batters at a time before his outing was officially over. That is Javier Lopez, lefty specialist for the Giants, retired after 14 years as a professional. He was a four-time World Series champ, three of those being with the San Francisco Giants, and he recently won the Willie Mack Award along with Brandon Crawford over this past season, which is given to the player who most exemplifies being a San Francisco Giant. So that being said, I kind of wanted to get into his stats a little bit more. Over the last 14 years of his professional career, he totaled 839 appearances, which is quite a lot. Yes, he was used quite a bit. And I mean, he was able to, just because he didn't really throw particularly long in any of his outings. Generally, his outings would last a third of an inning, two-thirds of an inning, never more than one inning. And for some reason, watching him for those brief outings were always some of my favorite moments, watching those Giants teams over the last 7 years since he's been here. Anyways, in those 7 years as a Giant, which were definitely his most successful years as a professional, he went 17-8 with a 2.47 ERA. Really, really solid numbers. For those of you who don't remember how he came to the Giants, he was involved in a trade along with fellow reliever Ramon Ramirez for John Bowker, which, wow, that ended up benefiting the Giants quite a bit. I remember that John Bowker was supposed to be this power-hitting stud. I mean, he always hit pretty fairly well in the minors, always put up pretty solid power numbers, but it just, he could never translate it into the pros. So the Giants definitely won out in that trade. Javier Lopez, of course, he played for the Giants, I mean, ever since that trade until he just retired recently. And even Ramon Ramirez, he had a pretty key part in that bullpen for that 2010 season, that World Championship season. So that worked out in the Giants' favor, and that was really when Sabian became known for his trade deadline acquisitions. And Javier Lopez was one of the more memorable Giants. He will be one of the more memorable Giants, and I feel like he's going to be one of those former Giants players that you're going to see at the ballpark quite often, even though he's retired. He's definitely always going to have a hero's welcome whenever he's back in AT&T Park. And I actually have more news regarding Javier Lopez and just a couple minutes. But first, I wanted to say how dominant he was for the Giants in the postseason. I mean, in his tenure as a Giant, he only gave up 2 earned runs total in postseason appearances, and none of those came in the World Series. Albeit, he probably only amassed like 12 innings total over the course of the 2010, 12, 14, and 2016 season. But, I mean, hey, gotta give credit where credit's due. He did his job, what he was asked to do every time he came in, only gave up 2 earned runs. So, it just goes to show how much of a big game competitor he was and how much he meant for the Giants and how much they trusted him in big moments, such as the playoffs. Even though he is retiring, though, he won't be going too far. Another topic I really wanted to cover regarding the Giants is announcer Mike Kruko is going to be cutting his schedule down this season. He originally was going to do only 100 games this year out of the 162, but he said he's been feeling fine. He's not fine, but he's been feeling better than he anticipated over the winter, so he's going to be broadcasting 120 games this season. For those of you who do not know, Mike Kruko has a degenerative muscular disease called inclusion body myositis, which basically is muscles are deteriorating. It makes them harder for him to travel. It's harder for him to move. He walks with a cane. He has been said to need wheelchair assistance when boarding planes from time to time. So it's just easier for him to not travel as far. And basically those 120 games, he's going to be doing all 81 home games. And then he's going to be doing all the National League West road games. And he said he's not going to be traveling further than Colorado this year, because it's harder when he goes to those older ballparks like Wrigley Field, or when he goes to the East Coast, Midwest, so on and so forth. So since he's going to be missing roughly 42 games this season, Javier Lopez is going to be filling in the booth for him, and Jeremy Affelt, another part of the Giants' core four relievers. And I mean, we're all used to seeing Jeremy Affelt around the clubhouse, being close to the team. He is an analyst for Comcast Sportsnet. He covers the Giants quite regularly, so he's not going to really be new to the spotlight. I think he's done a couple times where he's been in the booth, whether it be for interviews or and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see how he does as an announcer as well. I know I'm going to be on the lookout to see how they call games respectively. I'm actually really, really excited to see how Javier Lopez does. He's always been regarded as a highly intelligent baseball player. I think he said if he wasn't a baseball player, he'd want to be a doctor. I could be wrong, but for some reason that's what's coming to my mind. But anyways, yeah, so I kind of want to see his perspective on the game. I like Affelt. I think Affelt is really highly spoken. I think he has, he's a really good communicator. I think he'd be really good in the booth. I think he has a pretty solid personality. I think he'll be entertaining. I mean, it'll be fun to see if when Affelt's in the booth, if Kipe gives him crap we're keeping it PG here, but if he talks some smack to him, because I mean, Jeremy Affelt's really fun to mess with, or at least I think it's pretty funny. I think it's entertaining. You always hear people ripping him for how he gets injured in the most obscure ways, and just, I don't know, just messing around with him in general. So that's something I'm going to be looking forward to, just to see how Kiper and Affelt kind of play off each other. And I don't know if it's going to be Kiper, Lopez, and Affelt all three in the booth at the same time, or if it's going to be Lopez and Affelt kind of taking over for them while Kiper goes radio side with Fleming and John Miller, or if it's just going to be like Kuiper and Lopez one game, and then the next game is going to be like Kuiper and Affelt. Whatever the combination may be, though, all I know is I'm going to be looking forward to it. I actually can't wait to hear that first broadcast when they're both in the booth, or one of them, one or the other. I think I'm looking more forward to Lopez, just because I've heard Affelt talk for extensive periods of times, being on Comcast Sportsnet or being in the booth with Krook and Kipe during interviews and whatnot. I've never really heard Javier Lopez in that role. I mean, obviously, because he's been a player. But I do like listening to his interviews. I think he's a really interesting baseball player. I think he has a lot of knowledge of the game. And, hey, why? It would be pretty cool to hear the stories and the whatever else he brings to the table, kind of hear about his life as a lefty specialist, because he's kind of in an obscure role, or he was throughout his career. Not a typical reliever by any means. Hey, I mean, I think he made a killing for a living. He gets paid millions of dollars just to kind of come in and throw to one batter, and then he gets a break. I mean, that guy's living the life. So that's pretty much all I have to say about Javier Lopez. I kind of wanted to continue on the trend of the core four relievers for the Giants. And obviously, those four relievers are Javier Lopez, Jeremy Affelt. We've already covered those two, but we haven't covered the other two. Santiago Casilla, who just recently signed with the A's, and that's probably all I'm going to say about that. I don't think because he's with the A's he deserves any booing or any hate or any criticism. Although he had a rough season for the Giants last year, he did great for them overall, and he was a key part of their bullpen for many seasons. He's not a closer, and that kind of sucks when you put someone in a role where they're not accustomed to being in. He's not a true closer. He's at his best when he was an eighth inning setup man, and I'm kind of curious to see if that's the route the A's will go with him. I really hope so for his sake, because it's not like he can't throw anymore. He has nasty movement on his pitches. His fastball is still in the mid-90s, so he still definitely has something to bring to the table. So we'll see. The main person I wanted to talk about that has been in the news recently is Sergio Romo, who unfortunately will no longer be with the Giants, which is something we all pretty much knew is all pretty much set in stone. From the end of the season, we kind of knew the Giants were going in a new direction, going younger on the bullpen side, and they actually didn't offer him a contract. They didn't reach out to him. They pretty much said that we're going younger. You don't have a spot on this roster anymore. So Romo, although he really wanted to come back to the Giants, he ended up signing with his hometown team. Yes, I know it. I kind of cringe thinking about saying it, but he signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers for 1 year, $3 million plus incentives. I'm not quite sure exactly how much that could come out to, but it's always tough when you see a San Francisco Giant fan favorite going to the dreaded Los Angeles Dodgers. It stings. I mean, we've seen Juan Uribe go to the Dodgers, which stung, and I think probably the biggest gut punch was when Brian Wilson went to the Dodgers, just because of how that turned out and kind of how the relationship between him and the organization kind of went south. He definitely left some salt in the wound there with his choice words that he had to say for the Giants organization. And speaking of Brian Wilson, he is in the news once again, but I'm getting there. Still have some Sergio Romo to talk about. He's actually been getting a lot of flack for signing with the Dodgers. A lot of fans are disappointed. A lot of fans are kind of really talking a lot of trash about Sergio Romo, which is really, really disappointing, because it's not like he had a say in not coming back to the Giants. They just didn't want to They didn't want to sign him. They wanted to go a different direction. And really is a bummer because Sergio Romo has done some incredible things for this organization. I mean, he's been part of the 3 World Series championships. He was a really solid 8th inning guy, kind of like Santiago Casilla, although his pitch selection was nowhere near Casilla. Romo, he was one of my favorite pitchers to watch, too, just because he was so animated on the mound. He looked like he was having so much fun. He didn't have the typical build of a pitcher. He wasn't big and muscular, 6'3" tall and threw gas. He was, I don't know, probably about 5'10", maybe 5'9", to 5'11". Pretty scrawny and would not overpower anyone. I think when he was in his prime, he was throwing his fastball like 89 miles an hour. And recently, he's been topping out at like 85. But he had that electric slider. It's like a frisbee. It would start on the inside corner and just slide all the way across the plate. And that was his bread and butter. That was his go-to pitch. It was fun to watch. He fooled a lot of hitters. And he had a lot of great moments in a Giants uniform. So I think for me personally, I won't boo him. I know he's a Dodger. No one likes when a former Giant, especially a Giant hero, goes to the Dodgers. It's really, really a tough pill to swallow. But he's from L.A. They took a chance on – they're taking a chance on him, something the Giants don't want to do. And unfortunately, it's kind of backfiring for him just because of all the backlash he's been getting. But, I mean, I can't blame him. It sucks. I'm not someone who's going to boo him. I'm going to be rooting him on. If I'm ever at a game, a Giants-Dodgers game, and he comes in, I'm going to be clapping for him. Not going to be rooting for him to be successful against the Giants. He could be successful against every other major league team, just not the Giants. That's all I ask. But yeah, I really hope his first time he pitches against the Giants in AT&T Park, he gets a nice standing ovation because he deserves it. He's a great guy. He gave it his all for the Giants night in and night out. And he played a key role in securing those 3 World Series championships. And probably his most memorable one, I would say, is when he struck out Miguel Cabrera in the 2012 World Series. Everyone was thinking slider, and he just comes in with a fastball in the inside corner to strike him out. That was such a sweet moment. Everyone thought he was throwing a slider. The fans, probably everyone on the field except for Sergio Romo and Buster Posey. Miguel Cabrera definitely thought he was throwing a slider, but nope. He just comes high and inside and freezes him. That was such a surreal moment. That was insane. That was my favorite Sergio Romo moment by far. But anyways, like I said, he's been getting a lot of backlash in the media by the fans and online. And you can tell it's affecting him. He joined the Murph and Mac show. I don't know if he's actually on there, but he was talking to Paul McCaffrey from the Murph and Mac show. And I just want to read what he said because it's sad. It's sad that he's feeling this way. It's sad that he's getting this backlash. He said, "Hey, bro, I heard Kipe's interview and take on me going to the Dodgers. No lie, I'm not Brian Wilson, nor did I leave with a sour taste in my mouth over anything, even though I'm no longer needed there. I know what I was a part of with the Giants, and I left my heart out there whenever I got the ball, no matter who it was against. It wasn't my choice not to be a Giant, as I was straight up told I didn't have a spot there anymore. So I chose LA for my family only, and not to piss off in spite, nor to hurt anyone, especially with the Giants. I have no vendetta nor ill will towards any of my friends that I was made to leave behind in San Francisco. I will not do anything to show any of them up, as I respect and truly love every one of them for the way they accepted me and allowed me to play on their team. Paulie, if you can convey this message for me to your listeners, that I am beyond appreciative of all the experiences and blessings that I was given while I was a Giant. I am now left with only trying to be the best Sergio Romo that I can be. It hurts, though, after 12 years of knowing only orange and black, that I am leaving a place, my home, that has given me so much. I would like it if everyone would just stop talking trash about me and my life, as I truly will be leaving my heart in San Francisco, and that's no lie. So I want to say he just reached out to McCaffrey through email or through text. Not entirely sure, but it doesn't sound like he was on the show. But still, nonetheless, I mean, man, he's just such a great guy. I hope he doesn't get booed when he's in San Francisco, no matter what. That's just sad for me to read, because I don't want Romo to leave. He's one of my favorite Giants relievers. I feel like I've been saying that a lot tonight, but it's really true. I'll always admire the hard work he put in a Giants uniform and how he gave it his all every single time, and he left it all out there on the mound. I thought it was pretty funny, though, the jab he took at Brian Wilson, because, I mean, us Giants fans, we all know how that went down after his time in San Francisco came to an end. And speaking of Brian Wilson, he's actually talking of making an MLB comeback, but not as a closer or reliever. He wants to come back as a starter, more specifically, a knuckleballer. I don't really know where that came from, but that really caught my surprise this week when I saw that. Pictures circulated online of Brian Wilson, a beardless Brian Wilson, throwing a knuckleball just in a bullpen session. Probably down in LA. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe in Arizona, gearing up for spring training. I don't know. This is so weird. He said he was. It's a really odd interview that that I saw in the article that I read. So not only is he beardless, throwing a knuckleball, trying to become a starter, but he just came off of a one-month guacamole-only diet, which is incredibly bizarre, if you ask me. Yes, guacamole is amazing, and yes, I really like guacamole, but I could not, for the life of me, eat only guacamole for a month straight. That I feel like I'd get tired of it fairly quickly. I don't know. I can't eat guacamole without chips, unless it's like in my burrito or something, but I can never eat guacamole by itself. That just sounds kind of strange to me. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, so he was eating just guacamole for a month, and after throwing so many knuckleballs, he threw like a 30-minute bullpen session, and all but like a handful of his pitches were knuckleballs. And after one of them, he said that was an MVP Cy Young caliber knuckleball, which I guess we will have to see. We'll have to wait and see if a team takes a chance on him. I'd like to see at least him get like a minor league contract. I'm just curious to see how fast he's throwing. If he still has like a mid-90s fastball, I doubt it. But if he can still throw low 90s and then throw that knuckleball, I think that could be a good combination. He says he's thrown a knuckleball for as long as he's been a major leaguer, but the Giants just wouldn't let him throw it. But he says he can already see himself up there throwing waffles. In my notes, I wrote that down. Says can see himself already up there throwing waffles. ... What? ? Yeah, I have no idea what that means. I've never heard that expression before. But sounds like it means something good. I have no idea what he means by that, but I'm not really surprised to hear a phrase like that coming out of Brian Wilson's mouth. He has always struck me as an odd dude. A funny guy. Kind of strange, but he's funny. And I don't know. I'll see. I really am curious to see. Should the Giants take a chance on him? I don't know if that's realistic, but I wouldn't mind seeing that knuckleball in action. I mean, if it's spring training or if it's in a minor league game or whatnot. I don't know. I hope someone takes a chance on him. I really do. And even though his tenure with the Giants came to not the most respected type of ending, I wouldn't mind seeing him in a Giants uniform again. That's just my personal opinion. He hasn't played since the 2014 season, and after that season came to an end, the Dodgers, they even paid him $9.5 million of what they owed him to not play for them, to opt out of his contract. So it just tells you it didn't really go too well with him in a Dodgers uniform. I mean, I think we all know he definitely didn't live up to expectations there. So we will see if he has a chance to throw some waffles up there with that knuckleball, make an MLB comeback, and become a solid starter. I don't know. I think he'd be pretty filthy as a knuckleball reliever. You don't really see that too often either. Who knows? I don't know. I really don't, if he'll get a chance or not. But something I'd like to see. I'm sure it's something everyone would like to see. I mean, Brian Wilson is one of the more entertaining faces in baseball, and to have him back on the mound would be something else. I mean, he's only 26, biologically, he says. He's actually 34. I don't know what the hell he's saying half the time. Yeah, he's 34, but he says he's 26, biologically. I think he'd mean in his head he feels like he's 26. I don't know. I think I'm looking too far into it. Anyways, that's pretty much all I have on Brian Wilson. That's a lot of Brian Wilson news. That's come over the internet the last day or so. In other baseball news, though, the World Baseball Classic is this year, which is something I'm really looking forward to, something I plan on watching intently. The rosters were recently released earlier this week, and from the Giants, you have Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford on the team, and then you have Johnny Cueto on the roster for the Dominican Republic. Sadly, Madison Bumgarner isn't going to be playing. That was something I was really looking forward to. Altogether, the World Baseball Classic has 63 All-Stars in total playing, so it's going to be fairly competitive. Starts March 6th, and it goes till March 22nd. The Dominican Republic is the favorites for this year. They won the title in 2013. Johnny Cueto was not part of the team at that time. And I kind of wanted to talk a bit about, I was looking at ESPN, and they have the power rankings for the World Baseball Classic. They, too, have the Dominican Republic ranked number one. They have a pretty solid lineup. They have Starling Marte, Manny Machado, Robinson Cano, Adrian Beltre, Nelson Cruz, Jose Bautista, Hanley Ramirez, Wellington Castillo, and Gregory Polanco. And then off the bench, they have Carlos Santana, Jonathan Villar, Jose Reyes. The rotation, it seems all right. Johnny Cueto definitely headlining the way. They have Carlos Martinez, who's a pretty solid young pitcher. Edison Volquez, who hasn't really done anything in the last few years. He's kind of on a downward spiral. Then they have Willie Peralta and some other candidates for starting spots are Alex Reyes, Bartolo Colon, and Ivan Nova. In the bullpen, their bullpen has Yoris Familia, Dellin Betances, one of the best relievers in the game. They have Alex Colom. They have Hector Neris, Fernando Rodney, Hansel Robles, and Santiago Casilla. Hey, there's a former Giant. So they have a pretty solid roster. I think they pose a great threat. They have a really good shot at winning the title again in 2016. The United States, their roster is pretty good too, though. They have a pretty solid lineup. They have Ian Kinsler, Daniel Murphy, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Giancarlo Stanton, Buster Posey, Christian Yelich, Adam Jones, and Brandon Crawford. So they have a nice balance of power, and they have guys who can hit for average. They have guys who are pretty solid defensively. A couple players who are kind of bummed are not there. Obviously, Madison Bumgarner. Mike Trout isn't there. I was really hoping to see him. And neither is Clayton Kershaw, the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. Yeah, that sucks being a Giants fan saying that, but got to give credit where credit's due. He's been phenomenal. Then off the bench, you have Jonathan Lucroy, Matt Carpenter, Eric Hosmer, Alex Bregman, and Andrew McCutchen, which is, that sounds kind of weird, because Andrew McCutchen is a former MVP winner, and he was a star for so many years, but he's definitely on a decline as of late. So it's weird seeing him off the bench, but I mean, when you have Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich is becoming a bigger name for the Marlins, and then Adam Jones, he's been pretty solid for the Orioles throughout his whole career. And then for starting pitching, they have Chris Archer, they have Danny Duffy, Tanner Roark, and Marcus Stroman. They also have Michael Fulmer, J.A. Happ, Drew Smyly, and Sonny Gray. So Sonny Gray could crack that starting rotation. I'm not quite sure how I feel about the United States starting rotation. I don't know. I think that's their one weakness. Chris Archer I like, but I don't think he had the greatest year last season. Tanner Roark and Marcus Stroman. I actually really like Marcus Stroman. He's a nice young pitcher, but just that's it. He's a young pitcher. That's probably my biggest knock on him. He definitely had a disappointing season last season. I would know because I had him on my fantasy team, and he started out really good, and then he kind of got in a bit of a slump. Anyways, rounding out the United States roster, you have Andrew Miller, probably the best reliever in the game, hands down. He was absolutely lights out down the stretch and in the playoffs. And then you have David Robertson, Sam Dyson, Luke Gregerson, Michael Givens, Nate Jones, and Jake McGee. Pretty solid lineup. They can definitely contend. I definitely want to see how they play against the Dominican Republic. They are playing in the same qualifying pool as them, so we will definitely get a matchup between them, if I'm not mistaken. And then Venezuela, ESPN has them ranked third. Their roster is pretty solid as well. They have Odubo Herrera. They have Jose Altuve, Miguel Cabrera, Carlos Gonzalez, Martin Prado, Victor Martinez, Ender Inciarte, Salvador Perez, and Alcides Escobar. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went pretty far. I'm not really sure who their pitchers are. Oh, never mind. Here it is. They have Felix Hernandez, King Felix. They have Martin Perez, Francisco Rodriguez, Bruce Rondon, Jeanmar Gomez, and Yusmeiro Petit. Not really sure who else they have. Those are just some of the big names. But hey, Omar Vizquel is managing the team, so that's pretty cool. And then Japan from the MLB, they have Yu Darvish, Masahiro Tanaka, Kenta Maeda, and Hisashi Iwakuma. Pretty solid starting pitching. And then a roster that surprised many people in the last World Baseball Classics and is ranked fifth according to ESPN is Puerto Rico. They have Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor, and Javier Baez. So look for them to compete because those are some of the biggest shining young stars in the MLB. They also have Yadier Molina, Carlos Beltran, and I think Angel Pagan is playing. I don't know. Last time I checked, he was. It says he is here. Eddie Rosario, Enrique Hernandez. I believe that's Kike Hernandez from the Dodgers. Not quite sure. But they also have Hector Santiago, Jose Berrios, Seth Lugo, and Jose De Leon from the Dodgers. Excuse me, from the Rays now. He was a Dodgers. He was a Dodger, but they traded him. And then Edwin Diaz is their top bullpen arm. Who else? South Korea, don't really know many of their players. Mexico's picked seventh. They have Adrian Gonzalez. They have Chris Davis from the A's, who I had no idea was Mexican. I had no idea, but he hit, I want to say, 42 home runs over the last season. He had a phenomenal year for the A's. And then they have Danny Espinosa. They have Alex Verdugo from the Dodgers. They have Jaime Garcia, Yovani Gallardo, Sergio Romo, Oliver Perez, Joaquin Soria, and Vidal Nuno. Who else? Julio Urias will not be playing in the first round. We will see if he'll play in the future for Mexico. I know if so, that'll be a key arm for them. And then they have Roberto Osuna, who will also be held back in the first round as well. So, Mexico, they have some pretty solid pitching. They have an okay lineup. I like Adrian Gonzalez. I like Chris Davis. He's a pretty good power hitter. I'm not really sure who else they have, though. It's not listing their full roster. I'm sure I could check it out, but I mean, this podcast is already getting pretty long, longer than I anticipated. Eighth, this is the final team I'm going to cover. It's Cuba. According to ESPN, they have Jose Abreu, Yulieski Gurriel, Guillermo Heredia, and Yosmani Tomas. Pretty solid bats for them. I don't know how their pitching will do. I don't know, other than those players, who else they have. So we'll see. I'm really curious to see how the World Baseball Classic plays out. We'll see if the United States can win for the first time, or if they can even, let alone, make it to the championship game for the first time. I don't know. I just know that I'm going to be watching. I really think the United States has a chance to win, but I mean, man, that Dominican Republic team is something else. They're pretty good. They'll definitely be probably the biggest threat for the United States. Them and, I want to say, Puerto Rico, or Venezuela, with Miguel Cabrera and Jose Altuve. That's a pretty solid lineup all around. That's all I have time for on this podcast. This definitely went longer than I anticipated, so I apologize about that. But hey, I'm excited for baseball season. I'm going to be going to spring training next month with my dad, so I'd like to do a podcast on that. I'll definitely try my best to do a podcast before then. Like I said, I'm going to try and podcast more regularly. We'll see when I have time. I work a lot these next couple weeks, which is kind of a bummer. I'm been working pretty hard at In-N-Out for now, so we will see. I'm going to try and podcast whenever I get the chance. Probably do some Warriors next. I haven't shown them any love lately. Maybe do some more Niners or Giants. It kind of just depends on when I can podcast and kind of what's relevant within that week or so. Anyways, like I said, that's all the time I have for today. I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Let me know what you think. Of course, I'm going to be posting this to my Facebook page. Let me know if there's anything you agree with, disagree with, or if there's anything you'd like to see in the future. I'll be sure to do my best to talk about it at some point if it fits into what the theme of what I'm talking about in that particular podcast. In the meantime, though, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I will see you as soon as I have some more time. Thank you.